Okay, so Rav Kook is talking about the inner wisdom, right? And what we call today Kabbalah, spirituality, mysticism, there's a million different names. It doesn't really matter. Rav Kook calls it the Chokhmah HaPnimit, the inner wisdom. And he calls it the Hechrechiyut. Hechrechiyut means the need, right? Meaning, it's not what was maybe commonly thought. It was that like, okay, like, you know, if you're drawn to what we call regular Torah, Gemara, Halacha, Navi, Chumash, all the regular surface layer of understanding. Great, you're drawn. And if you're drawn to something more spiritual and more great, then great. Usually we define people, you know, right brain, left brain, you know, more intellectual, more spiritual, you know, more arts and etc. But Rav Kook doesn't see it as, okay, you know, there's two different Torahs. There's the revealed Torah. There's the hidden Torah. Pick whatever's good for you. Rav Kook says, no. First of all, we have to understand that there's a need. There's an inherent need to connect to the spiritual connection of the Torah. And he says like this: Limud ha-chokhmah ha-pnimit shebatorah ne'esa b'dorot ha-achronim hechrechi. Learning the deeper wisdom, the inner meanings of the Torah, in the last generations becomes potent. Something we need. Maybe in the thousands of years of exile, it was fine. You didn't need it. Just tell me what to do and how to do it. And you know what? Maybe, you know, the Yekis in Germany, they did something good because, you know, the Enlightenment era was really destroying Judaism. And they said, listen, it's not about what you think. It's about what you got to do. So you just got to do it. Right, and to kind of counteract the Enlightenment era, that was good. Maybe for them it was good, and maybe, but this kind of reality of like, okay, it's just kind of how we live. Rav Kook says in the generations that we live in right now, we need to learn the deeper meaning of the Torah. Al minat shekiyum hayahadut yimashech. If we want Judaism to continue, we need to learn the deeper understandings of the Torah. He said, what was obvious in the days before, what was just common sense, might totally get lost, might totally become irrelevant in today's world if we don't learn the deeper meanings of the Torah. Okay? So, for our parents, for our grandparents, you know, keeping Shabbos, obvious. Keeping Torah mitzvahs, okay, you know, that was great. It made sense. They lived in a world where all these things made sense, right? When we learned before in Rav Kook about the beauty of heteracy, right? And that Rav Kook says that the most people today who don't believe in God, they don't believe in God because they think God was made up. They don't believe in God because they believe that they're more moral than God, right? Judaism is not moral enough. Judaism is not with it enough. Right? It used to be that, you know, people felt like, oh, God's too abstract, he might not exist. Today it's like, oh, you know, I don't believe in the Torah because I can be a good person without the Torah. Right? Like, I'm morally, ethically, right? And Rav Kook speaks about that. That is a greater yearning for a more moral and ethic revelation of the Torah. The Torah, when it was explained in every generation, it was so much ahead of the curve. In a certain way, now that morality is so much at a higher level, then we have to extend the curve. And that is done through spiritual explanations, right? At the end of the day, if somebody comes and tells me, you know, why do you wash your hands before you eat? So the simple answer could be, oh, well, the Torah says, you know, there's Tumah, Tahara, you got to wash your hands, Zecher, to the times in the Torah when we kept Tumah and Tahara. The person's like, what? Demons? What? What are you talking about? Bad energy? Like, I don't get it, right? Kabbalah will tell you much deeper understanding. You know, what's netila mean? Netila doesn't mean to wash. It means to take. It means to elevate. And so, logically, when you wash your hands, you have to pick them up. Oh, right? Really? Yeah.
After you wash or before?
Yeah. Right before? After you wash, before you say the bracha, over lasiyatam, you have to pick up your hands.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Based on Kabbalah and Sephardi poskim, it has to be over your eyes, over your head.
So, that's negalasar and washing
your
hands.
Before you say, well, yes, but more when you say al natil, yeah, mintil asiyatam.
More for.
Yeah, meaning if you're saying negalasar in the morning, then you say al natil asiyatam. But during the day, when you do negalasar, you say asiyatam. So, whenever you say natil asiyatam, it's in order for the mitzvah to be over asiyatam. The halacha says you have to pick up your hands over your head. Natil asiyatam. So, Kabbalah says, what does it mean natil asiyatam? elevate my hands. My hands, they do the most worldly actions in the world. I want those actions to be elevated. What's the most humanistic thing to do, most earthly thing? To eat. Right? Animals eat. In that, we're not different. Right? The difference between man and animal is that animal, their stomach and heart and sexual organs are all on the same level. And humans, their heart, their mind is on the top, then their heart, then their stomach, then sexual organs. In that direction, because that's how life trickles down. So the things that are most worldly, like eating, I have to elevate so I'm not eating like an animal. And that's why I wash my hands, right? I take a moment to clean off my hands and elevate them. So whatever I'm going to do now is going to be elevated. That's the Tilas Yadayim. Wow! All of a sudden, like, oh, cool. Let me try that. Let me do that. And now, like, oh, well, there's too much. Like, and that's not a machlokas. It's not a chiluk. It's not that this is wrong. It's that there's a new perspective on things. And Rav Kook says, what was obvious then is not obvious now. It was obvious that you, said thank you to Hashem. It's not so obvious today. Because I'm buying this off the shelf. I didn't feel that I worked so hard. I didn't cut the crop. I didn't yearn and daven for the rain so the bushels will grow. I didn't, make sure my cow doesn't, my donkey doesn't get sick so he could turn the mill so I could grind the flour. I don't live in that world anymore. It's very easy for me to just, pop something into the microwave, take it out, eat it before, and all and done. 5 minutes, everything was gone. I was done. Rav Kook says, if we don't go deeper, we won't be inspiring anybody. Because it was obvious then, it's not obvious now. What made sense then, didn't make sense now. And that's what the Simcha Bunim explained, the Pasuk in I think it's in Tehillim, De'u shnot olam binu shnot dor vador. De'u shnot olam, know the Torah that is eternal, shnot olam, but binu shnot dor vador, but make it that the people of this generation can understand it. Right? The Torah didn't change. The way we comprehend things change, so we have to explain it to this generation. Right? So every generation is going to need a different explanation. Not only every generation, every culture. That's why Sephardi and Ashkenazi cultures are different. And that's why they have different facets of halacha. Yeah.
Do we believe that there is some sort of...
First of all, the answer is it's a machlokas. Because if you ask the question, if we believe, then who's we and what is belief? Yeah, but yes, answer.
Fine. Are there people who say that there is a... one reason for doing a certain. I get to the machlokin of Tamei Mitzvot, so I mean, I know.
I think the simple answer is a Shivim Panim LaTorah, right? Meaning there's one answer that I need, right? That's a lot of times people ask me a question. I say, listen, I can tell you what works for me. I can tell you what works for you, right? But, if what works for me works for you, fantastic. If not, then go pick somebody else's brain, right? Like, we're Jews, we pick brains, that's what we do. We also pick our nose, but mostly in public, we just pick brains. At the end of the day, the depth of what Rav Kook is saying is that Rabim Ozvim Et Hadat, many people are forsaking religion. Kol od lo tutzag bifneim ha-mashmaut ha-pnimit shel ha-masim. As long as you won't tell them the deeper meanings for things, they're not going to be interested. People will leave religion because you're giving them a shallow explanation, right? Unshallowing Judaism. That is our message and our motto and our mission statement until Mashiach's coming. Because we can't live in a world where Torah is shallow. Who wants to live a shallow life? Who wants to live a shallow relationship with God? We have to bring it to a point where things aren't shallow anymore. Rav Nosson, Rav Nachman's greatest disciple, took all of Rav Nachman's teachings and wrote them up based on the Shulchan Aruch. He has a book called Likutei Halachot, 8 volumes, one of the most amazing works done 100 and 200 years ago, like such a mind to write such a work when your print was so juvenile and he literally went through the Shulchan Aruch and taught halacha based on deeper understandings of Kabbalah. The Ari did the same thing in Derech Mitzvotecha, but it's so profound that if you're not like holding, it's kind of over your head.
Either those have an English translation.
What, Derech Mitzvotecha or Likutei Halachos? Likutei Halachos has. I have the first 2 volumes. It's not to the point like you would want it to be. Right, like a lot of times.
It has even extra, I assume, right?
Yeah, I have an interlineate. I could bring it to show you. You could take a look. I have the first volume of Hilchos Hashkamas HaBoker. But But it's amazing. I mean, in there, in Lakuti Halachos, Rabbi Nelson says that, the Gemara says that the first mitzvah that Am Yisrael got, the Torah says the first mitzvah that Am Yisrael got was Kiddush Levana, right? Birkat HaChodesh, seeing the moon. So Rabbi Nelson says, because if you want to come out of exile, the first thing you need to do is look at the black, dark sky and find one ray of light. That's coming out of exile. That's what we do, right? We look out at the sky that's pitch black, that's dark, and we find that little sliver of the moon. That's your avoda. As a person, we are those people. We are the people of the moon. We are the people that look at the moon. Our job is to sanctify the moon. Right? So that's in that depth. And ve'yiridaka shazot shemachricha legalot et sodot haTorah, hi mavia ima aliyah gdola. That, Rav Kook says, that descent to needing to bring deeper understanding so people will follow the Torah brings with it a great roar, a great ascent. Right? Meaning, it should be that I'll tell you, why do we wash your hands? Because we do. And that shall suffice for you. And for people in, you know, our grandparents, I mean, definitely if they were in Germany and they were still religious, then that was fine. Right? Why do we wash your hands? Because we do. Right? Why do we get married? Because the Torah says so. Right? Great. But for a lot of people, you know, why? Why? I need a deeper reason. I'm yearning for something deeper. And many people leave religion, Rav Kook says, because there aren't deep answers. Right? A lot of people go to the Eastern religions because the Eastern religions seem to be much deeper. But the Torah is as deep and deeper. We just have to unlock that depth. Right? Rav Kook says that learning the pnimius of the Torah, learning the deeper understandings of the Torah, is a necessity for us. It's not maybe, you know, oh, you can't learn it till you're 40. Maybe that was right then. Right now, Rav Kook says, you're not going to be interested in Torah when you're 40 if you're not going to learn it before. If you're going to wait till you're 40 to learn the deeper meanings of the Torah, you won't be interested in Torah. Right? You got to learn it now. You got to really figure out what's the deeper reasons behind halacha. Hey, and that's what we try to do here. That's what we try to do in BBQ&A. That's what we try to do many, many things that we do. We try to give deeper understandings. Because whatever it is, it's not working. Right? Whatever inspired me till now to do halacha is not inspiring me anymore. So I need something deeper. Right? So Rav Kook says, and this is very important, the pnimius of the Torah, the deeper layers of understanding of the Torah, are a necessity for our generations. Because in this generation, people are so in tune with themselves that they don't do things that don't make sense. Right? Everything we read up on it, we do our research, right? There's a new fad, okay, let me go research, let me go see what's happening. And then, you know, I'm not going to just jump on every, you know, ship and sail. So Rav Kook says, if we're not going to know the inside, we're not going to be interested. Could be that 200 years ago, you didn't need to go on a date with a girl. Right? So my grandfather said to me, why are you not dating? Why are you not getting married? I said, I'm looking for the right girl. Right girl? She's a girl. Marry her. Right? I mean, for my grandfather, that might have been right. You know, get to know her later. But in today's reality, I want to know the soul. Right? And that's the same thing with the Torah. I want to know the soul. I want to know what's really going on. So Rav Kook is telling us, and maybe for some of us, we've been a little like resistant to learn the deeper meanings. Or maybe sometimes we were made to feel bad that we are learning mystical ideas. Right? Because for our fathers, our generation, it didn't work. They didn't need it. Right? They didn't need it. But this is what works for me. Right? I remember somebody once told my dad, he goes, oh, how do you deal with the fact that your son's not like you? Right? My dad said, first of all, I didn't know that parenting means that you mimic yourself in your children. I didn't know that was a parenting thing. But also, my son is, you should know, just like me. When I was his age, I was looking for the best way for me to connect to God. And he's doing exactly the same thing. Looking for the best way for him to connect to God. Right? So, chitzoni, my dad and I seem different. I got a beard and payas. My dad's clean shaven. And you know, I like to learn Reb Nachman, he likes to learn Soloveitchik, but on the pnimius, we are totally looking for a better relationship with God. And, you know, that worked for him, and this works for me, and that's fantastic. And Rav Kook says it's a necessity because this is the soul of the Torah. So now Rav Kook says, Kabbalah v'tshuva. Zehu davar pashut. It's a very simple thing. She'i efshar la'avin et nistarot ha-Torah b'li tshuva. I'll read this again. It's a very simple thing. It's very simple. That it is impossible to understand the depth of the Torah without tshuva. Now I'm going to say this, even though we've learned Rav Kook on tshuva for many times before, but new semester, new life, new soul, new morning, new day, new light, new everything. Tshuva is not being a tzaddik. Tshuva is not going from here to there. Tshuva is not, I'm done sinning. Tshuva means I am heading in the direction of God. Tshuva means lashuv, means to return. Okay? When I call my wife and say, I'm coming home, doesn't mean that I'm walking through the door in the next minute. It means I'm coming home. Where I'm coming from is going to have a large effect on when I'll come home. Traffic will have a large effect on when I'm coming home. What means of transportation I'm using will have a great effect on when I'm coming home. But I'm coming home. To do tshuva means to declare I'm coming home. Where I'm coming from will have an effect on when I'm getting there. What means of transportation I'm using, right? What's fueling me will have an effect. The traffic, right? I mean, College Park, when the semester break is done, you can go Route 1 in a minute. But when everybody's around, especially near the frat houses, it gets congested. Thank you. It's hard to maneuver, right? A lot of traffic. So how I'm coming home? Fine, but I'm coming home. I don't need to be the holiest person in the world. I need to be getting there. Rav Kook says, "Binyanim amukim ka'elu ifshar lafrid ben yecholet havana leben Torah lev." See, there's a lot of people out there that are very drawn to mysticism, but it doesn't change who they are, right? There's a famous story. I said this 100 times. Said it again, of a ethics professor that had an affair with a student, and the ethics board decided to kick him off. Can't be an ethics professor and have an affair with a student. And in his defense said, and the algebra teacher is a triangle? Right? What does one thing have to do with the other? Right? Valid? In Torah, that's not valid. It's not valid at all. Of course that's not valid. That's the sad point. I mean, first of all, the fact that he had that rebuttal is very sad, what we think about ethics, secular ethics. But in Judaism, how would you feel asking halachas to a rav that you know doesn't follow these things? You'd be like, okay, I don't get, like, if I wanted to Google it, I'll Google it. I don't need to ask you, right? I'm looking for somebody who lives this and breathes this and understands the struggles to help me find the best way for me to get closer to God. In Torah, it can't be external.
You can take whatever you can. When are we supposed to take whatever we can? Really?
Vadai, but I can't, but this is what it says, that the Torah was destroyed because they didn't say Birkas HaTorah. Right? The Beis HaMikdash Gemara says the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed because they didn't say Birkas HaTorah before they learned.
Wait, the first and second one?
I think if I recall it correctly, it's the first one.
First, yeah.
And the reason is why, because they learned it as a secular study. To not say Birkas HaTorah means I'm learning it as secular knowledge, right? To become a professor of Bible studies. Torah is not a secular knowledge. It has to affect my life. It has to become part of me. When I say Birkas HaTorah, I'm saying that I'm learning this Torah. This is the way to live. It's not knowledge. Right? It's not just accumulating credits. Cook says, if you're not trying to become a better person, you're just going to take all the inside of the Torah and distort it. You're going to destroy it. It's going to destroy you. It's going to be your biggest downfall. Because you're going to learn all the deeper meanings of the Torah, and you're just going to see them in your own narrative. Doing tshuva means I understand that there's a greater narrative than mine. There's a narrative of God. Now, within the narrative of God, and there's 70 facets, I'm going to choose the facet that is most potent to my soul and most natural to me. But there's a greater narrative. But if I'm not doing tshuva, if I'm not trying to get a, become a better person, if I'm not trying to grow, then I'm just going to distort the deeper meanings of the Torah. And we've seen that with false messiahs. We've seen that with countless of rabbis who were Kabbalists and are in prison. I don't know how they're not getting out of prison using their Kabbalah, but you know, maybe they have like, you know, kryptonite prisons now. But like, you're not immune. You're not immune. Learning Kabbalah doesn't mean you're immune from making mistakes. Desire to always come closer to God is the immunity. But Rav Kook says, and this is where he brought down by the Arizal, that the revealed Torah is like water. It seeps down and it can reach every place. The hidden Torah is like fire. It catches things. People catch fire. But it can also burn you. It can also destroy you. Nadav and Avihu, Kabbalah says, that's what happened to them. They were so passionate about serving God, about spirituality. Boom, they were consumed by that holy fire. Fire can consume you. That's why the rabbis came out and said, listen, don't learn before you're 40, right? Meaning, don't start learning mysticism before you have a foundation. Rav Kook says that foundation has to be an active desire to return to God, to return to your source. You can't separate, say, oh, I'm just here to learn. Yeah, you know, I want to learn halakha, but I'm not going to follow it. Okay, I don't get it, but that's valid. I can't say, I want to learn spirituality, but it doesn't interest me. The idea of spirituality, spirit, it's talking to your heart, it's talking to your emotion. You can't be affected by something and not be affected. You could be a Holocaust denier your whole life. You can't go to Auschwitz and not be moved. Right? Unless there's a cognitive dissonance and, you know, there's something psychologically wrong with you.
Well, if you're a Holocaust denier, then probably that's true anyways.
Right, fine. But I'm saying, like, you know, like, I remember I had a student who said, I don't need to go to Poland. I read enough about the Holocaust. So, Habibi, that's totally wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
It's a difference between reading, hearing, seeing, and being. So when you're there, all five of your senses are taking it in. It's the most powerful, hardest, and most amazing experience you'll ever go through. Rav Kook is telling us the deep concept of learning the inside of the Torah is exactly that. אפשר לקלוע אל התוך של הדברים, אבל כשהחטאים קיימים, שאיפתו של האדם יורדת ומזדהמת, והרגישות שלו לאמת צלולה נאבדת. See, what happens when you sin? You start rationalizing why you sinned. Who's the ultimate Baal Tshuva in the Tanakh?
Rabbi Akiva?
He's not in the Tanakh, but...
Oh, Tanakh.
In Tanakh.
Oh, okay.
Who is it? Who's the Baal Tshuva?
David
HaMelech, right? David HaMelech. Right? He only sinned to teach us how to do tshuva, right? That's what Gemara says. David HaMelech is the first person in all of Tanakh, in all of humanity that we know, that said, Chatati Lashem. The first person that said, I sinned, I'm wrong, was David HaMelech. Like, oh my God, it took 3,000 years of humanity for somebody to figure out that you can say, I was wrong, instead of rationalizing your mistakes? Apparently, yes. But that is human nature. Yeah, no, I did that, but it wasn't my fault. Everybody was, you know, in this day of age. What's the ultimate tshuva? I was wrong, that's it. I'm done, I did it. I'm nothing. I'm not giving any excuses. That's it. I sinned. And that's what Rav Kook is telling us, that if you live a life that you're rationalizing your sins, then the deeper Torah you will just use to distort and explain why. Right? The Zohar is going to say that, you know, you can't live a life a day without sin. So a sinner is going to say, you know, that's why I sinned. Because you can't. Right, the Torah says, "En tzaddik asher yaseh tov ba'aretz v'lo yechata." I could not sin, but the Torah said, so I sin. Right? Yeah.
Interesting. Like, not doesn't say Chatati Hashem necessarily, but like David's like great 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 grandfather Yehuda also said like I was wrong.
Tzadka Mimeni, right? For sure. So right, for sure. Yeah. Yehuda was the first to admit. That's his name, Yehuda. Lehodot, right? To admit. I admit I was wrong. He was the first, he taught us what it means to admit. Right? And where he, that's where David got his the koach from, right? To admit that I did something wrong. And I could blame the whole world, but that's not gonna make me a better person. Yes, yes, there were so many moving parts that were setting me up for failure. But that's not gonna make me grow. It's gonna make me grow is saying, you know what? We lost. We lost. We're going to go back to the locker room. We're going to go back to the gym. And we're going to do it again. Right? And Rav Kook is telling us that the truth will be distorted if you're not trying to live a life where you're owning up. L'kach tzarich l'itgaber b'tikun atzmo k'dei l'nakot et haratzon b'chol u'b'kach l'iftoach et atzmo l'dat elyon. Rav Kook says, if you're not working on tikun amidos, and forget about it. What's the point? What's the point of trying to get a deeper understanding of the Torah if it's not going to prompt you to be a better person? What's the point of understanding the deeper meaning behind Atilas Yadayim if you're not looking to elevate your hands? What's the point of understanding a deeper meaning of Shabbos if you're not looking to work on self-control? In the deepest way, Rav Kook is telling us something that is really interesting. Because he wouldn't think that this would be a prerequisite to learning spirituality. But in the Western society, where we're very much okay with our shortcomings, because we were plagued by Christianity's, we are bad people because of the original sin, and that has affected our culture, where people are okay with the fact that we're not good. So much to a point that Hitler writes in Mein Kampf, we are barbarians, and this is who we are, and the Jews are plaguing us with their philosophy of we can become better than just animals. And that's why they should be destroyed. We see who lived out who. But because of that, we live in a place where we're okay. Now we can't come to a place where our shortcomings bring us to despair, because that Sifrei Kabbalah would tell us that is worse than any sin that we could ever do.
Sort of Cook's big thing, right? Despair is the only
It's the only thing that can be elevated. It's the only attribute, only midah that can't be fixed, is atzvus, right? Because it cripples you. Rav Kook is telling us that at the end of the day, when there's a necessity to learn the deeper meanings of Kabbalah, because the explanations that worked for them do not work for me. Right? The same with everything. I mean, we see it in advertising. We see it in everything we have. You know, in 1995, if a movie had one kiss, it was rated R. One kiss, right, would make a movie rated R. We don't have to talk about what's PG today, right? And what's really rated R today. And I don't even want to tell you, the ratings are a joke. And also humor. Things that made us laugh are not funny today. Today, if it's not like ripping on somebody's culture or something sexually, it's not funny.
Or politics.
Vada. Well, that's ripping on somebody's, you know, personal, whatever. But in Achinami, right? I mean, Rabbi Nachman told us that there's three kinds of jokes, three kinds of levels of humor. There's the feet, the stomach, and the head. There's humor that comes from the head, which is supposed to be it's sophisticated and smart. And when you get it, it's really funny. There's humor that comes from the stomach, which is jokes that are supposed to just make us laugh because it's something silly. And there's jokes that come from the head, from the feet, which is stepping on somebody else, right, putting somebody else down. And Rav Kook said, there's only one kind of good joke. Jokes that are not putting anybody else down. Jokes that are not creating a silly mood. Those are good jokes, right? Rabbi Nachman is very into jokes, but you have to make sure that these jokes aren't right? So at the end of the day, Rav Kook is telling us, we need to go deeper in order to spice up our Judaism. But also, we have to make sure that our trajectory is the right place. Because I could definitely be in love with the spirituality and mysticism, of deeper knowledge. But if that's not going to make me a better person, then by all means, it's going to make me a bad person, a worse off person. So to start off, a little bit of how Rav Kook visualizes and sees spirituality and Kabbalah and Pnimiyus HaTorah, there are two pillars here. One is the necessity, and two is the background. And again, tshuva doesn't mean that I can't learn Gemara, the deeper reasons before I mastered everything. Tshuva means I'm actively trying to become a better person. Right? Now, there's tshuva that has to do with the Torah, which is I'm trying to become a better person based on what the Torah decides is good. And there's also what society thinks is good, and therefore that's fine. That's also right, trying to become a better person. But Rav Kook is telling us that if I'm not actively looking, then what's going to happen is that the Torah knowledge that I'm accumulating is just going to distort my life, and I'm going to have more ways to rationalize what I'm doing. Okay? Or more ways to come to despair. Right? So for us to be here with what we're doing and a little bit start up the semester, just a little bit of learning about the premius of why we need this deeper understanding of the Torah, and then a little bit about how Rav Kook views Torah. And to that, maybe go back to Tikkun HaMidos and do a little chazara on what we learned last, I think it was already two semesters ago, on Tikkun HaMidos and how to elevate my attributes in a healthy and normal way, for us to first understand that we need deeper understandings. And that's a normal need, Rav Kook says, in this generation. Yeah, for my father, he didn't need it. Fantastic. Amazing. And that's it. Right, and like I've said to many parents in conversations, you know, if modern orthodoxy believes that there's a healthy balance between the physical world and the Torah world, so the physical world has extrapolated a bajillion times since you were a teenager. So all we can expect is for the spiritual world to do the same, right? I think the amount of struggle that we have with the physical world, our parents didn't have in a week the struggles we have in a day on one day. Right, I was just telling Avital the other day, I'm like, isn't it crazy that our girls won't get a driver's license? Like, they won't drive a car. That's crazy to think.
You think in 10 years?
First of all, my daughter's three, but I assume that in 15 years, yeah.
Full self-driving.
For sure. I mean, you have to obviously need a license to operate, to be in a car. But it's going to be
Are you planning on being in Israel then? Because Israel, I would say, might be.
I really hope so.
Because Israel might
really
be 15 years.
Let's not get into this. But it's the idea that the world changes so much, and therefore, because of physicality and spirituality, physicality changes, so does spirituality. And there needs to be better reasons for doing things, right? Especially when you learn halachos that are a little bit irrelevant today, right? You learn the lametet melachot. How many of us, right? And if you learn Gemara, halacha, Shabbos, Silcha Shabbos, lametet melachot take a huge portion, and mukta takes a little portion. In our life, we can even say the lametet melachot, but mukta takes up half of a lot. Why? Because in our lives, mukta plays a huge part. In lametet melachot, I'm sorry, we're not plowing the field, we're not cutting the bushels, we're not doing that.
I was winnowing last Shabbos.
We're all you know putting making a shirt, you know, or hunting deer, because that's definitely our thing to do on Shabbos, because it changes, so we need deeper readings. And Rav Kook says it, this is going to bring the greatest uprising, and the more we connect to the deeper meanings, the more we connect to the reasons behind, the more we connect to God in our relationship.